Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. You know, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. So good to have you with us for another week as we head into Christmas. Did I wish everyone a Merry Christmas? Let me do that now. I hope you have a Merry Christmas. Yes, today was Christmas service at Denver Bible Church, but unfortunately I could not participate as I was participating in my own personal version of the 24 hours of Le Mans. Drove from Denver to St. Louis and back in less than 40 hours. 24 hours on the road. At my age, I'm not sure how much longer I can do this. I'm just not sure. And then I get home, and I've got to check the news, of course, just to catch up for you people so I can do this show. And do you get a load of Hillary Clinton on the front of Drudge right now, or at least as we go to air? Get a load of this picture, he said to his extremely attractive audio engineer.
I want that shirt.
That's the definition of a shent that she's wearing there. Yes. Part shirt, part tent. How can she go out in public like that? What is this headline, by the way? Hillary refused to share the bathroom during the break. Isn't she only debating two other guys? What do they have? I guess Democrats, they all use the same bathroom, right? Out of political correctness. She refused to share it with Bernie. Maybe Bernie's not man enough to share a bathroom with Hillary Clinton. Anyway, that's a very unflattering shent that she's wearing there on the cover of Drudge. Drudge has always had a penchant for putting up photographs that put people in whatever light he wants to put them in. And he wants Hillary to look like, well, a circus act, I guess. Anyway, wouldn't share the bathroom. I don't even want to read the, I don't want to click on that and read the details. That's all you need to know. She refused to share the men's room with, and like that. So that's all of that. That's all the news I caught up on. But I do have a few things that I looked at as the week progressed. And I want to start out with Satanists here as we go into Christmas week. Appropriate to start with the Satanists. These Satanists in Oklahoma City, you remember this guy, right? This is like a pasty-faced, pudgy kid who lives in his mom's basement and he leads the Satanic Temple of Oklahoma City. Well, in between popping pimples and playing video games, he says he plans to protest the Catholic Church's beliefs about Jesus and his birth by pouring blood over a statue of the Virgin Mary outside of St. Joseph Cathedral in Oklahoma City on Christmas Eve. This is reported to us at Breitbart, so we know that it's true. The Satanist states that the virgin birth of Jesus is a fraud. You know what's interesting about Satanists is that they must believe the Bible, at least the part about Satan. And so if you believe in Satan, who's the evil mastermind behind all the wickedness in the world, why would you have a hard time with the virgin birth? I mean, you already believe, I don't know. Anyway, he has obtained a permit, by the way, has the Satanist. It's going to begin at 4:30 on Christmas Eve. Everything must be removed by 6:15 p.m., and the permit requires that he clean up the entire display and ensure no materials are left on the sidewalk, so he cannot stain the sidewalk with blood. I'm sure his mom will be there to help him, and his six loyal followers there at the Satanic Temple of Oklahoma City. They'll all be out there. And you know Satanists, they never leave a mess. No. Let's see, it's the Satanic Temple of Detroit. Now, I don't know why he's the head of the Satanic Temple of Detroit, but he's doing this in Oklahoma City. I'm not sure how to make that. By the way, the Satanic Temple of Detroit, for whom this young man named Adam, by the way, his name is Adam, just Adam is, well, they promote abortion and homosexual marriage when they're not pouring blood over the statue of the Virgin Mary. The Archdiocese of Oklahoma has not returned requests for comment because they just really don't care. And this idiot, Adam, the Satanist, he should thank Matt Drudge. He should have to pay Matt Drudge some kind of royalty for giving his adolescent outbursts of stupidity a national stage so that he ends up on worldwide broadcasts like this, high-powered media outlets like the Weekly Worldview. Young Adam. Well, we wish him all the best with his pouring of the blood on the statue and all that, and hope he gets into the upper echelons of the World of Warcraft as well. I'm sure that's his next. In the meantime, we'll move to Kentucky. I mean, we're not actually going to move to Kentucky. I wouldn't do that to you. We're quite happy here on the high prairies of Colorado, looking down on all you people from a little over a mile high. We'll stay right here, thank you very much. But we've got a story from Kentucky, and it qualifies as reason number 1,018 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. The superintendent at Castle Elementary School decided to take out the Gospel of Luke in the recitation given by Linus in the Charlie Brown Christmas production. Do you all remember this? Anyone who grew up in America after 1965 remembers a Charlie Brown Christmas with the pathetic Christmas tree, and Linus gives the dissertation right out of the book of Luke. Well, the superintendent at W.R. Castle Elementary School, according to WorldNet Daily, he says, well, he is a church-going man, but he has to follow the advice from the Johnson County School District attorneys. The lawyers got to him, you see. A church-going man is no match for a pack of lawyers from the public schools. He doesn't say he's a Christian, by the way. Says he's a church-going man. What does that mean? Does he go there just to cruise? What's a church go? I don't get that.
He cleans the toilets.
Cleans the toilets at the church? I don't know if he's qualified. He's a government school administrator. I don't think he can do any physical labor. I wouldn't let him clean my urinal, I can tell you that. Probably put those little cakes in there upside down, those smelly things they put in there. Probably get those all backwards. All right, how do we descend into talking about urinals? Ah, the government schools. Back to the government schools. WorldNet Daily reports that in a message posted on the school district's website, the superintendent said, well, here's the thing. It was a message posted on the website because this guy did not want to stand up in front of God and everybody and admit that he was editing the Gospel of Luke out of the Christmas special. He did not want to do that. So instead of standing up like a man, a church-going man, and taking responsibility for the decision he made, he issued a post on the school district's website, and he said, well, in accordance with federal laws, our programs will follow appropriate regulations. The U.S. Supreme Court and the Sixth Circuit are very clear that public school staff may not endorse any religion when acting in their official capacities and during school activities. However, our district is fully committed to promote the spirit of giving and concern for our fellow citizens that helped define the Christmas holiday. Did I say Christmas? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put that in my... We advocate core values such as service, integrity, leadership, and commitment. Our staff and students will continue to proudly represent our district, as recently demonstrated by our many student successes. They're all very successful young children. Thank you very much. Some parents are upset. In particular, a Baptist preacher there has launched a picket line outside the local high school to try to convince the administration to overturn their ban on the words of the Apostle Luke regarding the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, good luck with that and your picket line. Any Baptist preacher with common sense would be standing, and I'm not saying this Baptist preacher doesn't have common sense. I'm just saying if he wanted to exercise it, He would stand outside the school and encourage parents to get their children out of the government schools. It's a post-Christian hellhole designed to separate you from your children and then separate your children from the living God forever. And they've got lawyers, and they're very successful at what they do. All right, so there we have that. We move then from the government schools up out of the urinal politics file. We move from the urinal to the bench. A judge named Carolyn was elected as a municipal judge last month in Brooklyn. And she took her oath of office last week, and she swore her oath on the Holy Quran. That's according to the New York Daily News. They actually call it the Holy Book of Islam, the Quran. So we've got a judge in Brooklyn sworn in, not on a stack of Bibles, which would be bad enough. How stupid is that? To swear in a judge who presides over a justice system that stands foursquare in opposition to anything good and righteous and holy. How stupid is it to have them put their hand on a Bible and act like they believe in anything? At least with the Quran, you know what you're getting, okay? She probably, given enough time and opportunity, she would probably institute a Sharia law there in Brooklyn. And, man, in Brooklyn, that'd probably be some kind of improvement. That's how bad it's gotten. Well, there's a backlash against the Muslim, Carolyn Walker Diallo. There's been a backlash so much so that some of her supporters are concerned for her safety. Yes, people have posted ugly things about her online. They've made note of her religion and their discomfort with it. And now she's concerned that she could be hurt or injured by the anti-Muslim Islamophobic flashback. Did I say flashback? I meant backlash. I'm having a flashback. I just got off the road. You know how you feel when you just get off the road? You feel like your head, you got like 10 pounds of cotton stuffed inside your ears? That's how I feel right now. But I will soldier on for you. This story about the Muslim sworn in on a Quran, the folks at the New York Daily News spend two-thirds of the article talking about the backlash and the fear of this Muslim lawyer that she could be hurt or injured for swearing on a Quran. And this is the standard reply of a suicidal people. The barbarians are at the gates, and we're worried about offending the barbarians, or maybe making them mad or making them feel bad, making them want to cut off our heads or something, as if that could ever happen. All right. Anyway, I don't think any, I think that the Muslims should not be judges. That's all. And I don't think there should be a law. I just think that our society should be as such that Muslims, there's no way one would ever be a judge. There's just no way it could ever happen. But there you have it. It's happened in Brooklyn. And she took her oath on the Quran, just like Minnesota Representative Keith Ellison. Keith Ellison, mouthpiece for the Muslim Brotherhood in America. A man who should be arrested, in my humble opinion. Or at least investigated for his ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. All right. And another lawyer, by the way. All right. So we move from Islam, which is a terrifying religion. We move to the Vatican into the bad religion file. The Pope, last Wednesday, warned Catholics against fraudsters, people who would have them pay money to pass through the holy doors at cathedrals around the world. This is a ritual, by the way, that's associated with the Catholic Church's Jubilee year. The Catholic Church has the Jubilee year going on right now. Were you aware of that? That's Jubilee. Well, I am familiar with the Jewish Jubilee that was declared by God. And it's a year in which all debts are declared paid in full, and it's basically a reset. You see, God was pretty smart. He knew that if he gave people enough rope, given enough time, they'd tie themselves into knots that they just couldn't get out of. And so he said every 50 years, it's going to be Jubilee. All debts are paid. Everybody starts over. Slaves are set free, all of that. Well, the Catholics have corrupted a version of that, I suppose, as they have virtually everything regarding the Bible. I'm glad that they still acknowledge the death of Jesus Christ, what with him on the cross all the time at the Catholic Church. I wish they'd talk a little bit more about his resurrection. But mostly what the Catholics talk about, especially from the Vatican, is money. And the Pope is saying, don't allow yourself to be charged money to participate in our silly ritual, the Jubilee year. He says, beware. Beware of anyone who tells you you have to pay. You don't have to pay. Salvation is free. And, you know, Catholics have to be reminded of this. Every 4 or 5 centuries, a pope has to say this. He has to remind them that salvation is free. And then it's back to business. Just back to regular Catholic business where they pass the... They got the impressive baskets. I sat through a number, what do they call it? Mass. I sat through a number of masses back when I was collecting signatures for the personhood initiative. And some of these churches, they hand around money baskets that are the size of a 55-gallon drum. Giant velvet baskets. And you just know they expect that thing to be full to the top by the time it gets around. I mean, I felt so guilty. I'd drop a couple of bucks in every time. What can you do? Priest is standing up there looking right at you, scowling at you. Got the lights on you. Better give it up. But the Pope says don't pay to participate in the Jubilee Holy Door, whatever that's all about. I've got to admit I'm not familiar with that. But there you have it. The Pope's reminding Catholics that they do not have to pay for salvation. All right. That's the bad religion file. We'll move from there. We'll move right into the sad religion file where, let's see, there's a professor out at Wheaton College. Wheaton College, by the way, was founded as a Christian college for girls long, long time ago. But now, one of their professors, Larisha, she wore a hijab, and she's asked advice. She wore a hijab to be in solidarity with her Muslim friends, who she fears for their safety because of the Muslim backlash and all the rednecks driving around in pickup trucks looking for Muslims to lynch. Haven't you heard? No, you haven't heard? I hadn't really heard either, but I'm just assuming that America is teeming with rednecks with giant stars and bars on the back of their truck, the rebel flag. Right, and they got shotguns and baseball bats, and they're just out looking for Muslims to lynch. Well, she wore her hijab and posted it up on Facebook, and shockingly enough, Wheaton College put her on probation or suspended her. So, well, they told her she's not allowed to come to work, but she will continue to collect pay. They issued a statement, I think. Let's see, did they actually get up and say something, or did they issue a statement? Well, she sought advice from CARE that CARE is the Council for American Islamic Relations, another front group for the Muslim Brotherhood. Their doors should be kicked in, their tables should be overturned, and they should all be arrested. But they advise Americans on how not to offend Muslims. Yeah, I think they have a brochure. How to keep your head. How to keep your head. Do not offend us. So they told her she could wear the hijab, even though, let's see, is she a Christian? Well, let's see here. Wheaton College says that's an ostensibly Christian college. They did not denounce Professor Larisha's decision, but they thought it lacked theological clarity. They placed her on administrative leave. And then the college released a statement, yes, because they didn't want to stand up because they thought they might be targeted by the Muslims and then executed, killed, burned alive maybe, or skinned, or have their head cut off. But they issued a statement saying, while Islam and Christianity are both monotheistic, we believe there are fundamental differences. See, here's the problem with Wheaton College. They issued a statement saying, we believe there are fundamental differences. Instead of just saying, while Islam and Christianity are both monotheistic, there are fundamental differences. And then their statement went on to say that the scriptures, the Christian scriptures, reject the taking of innocent life. And then they all ducked and ran and prayed that they didn't offend anybody. And then the Muslims, I guess they were all looking at each other going, what are they saying? Did we advocate the taking innocent life? What is that? Anyway, this professor, Larisha, she makes the claim that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. According to her biography at Wheaton, she previously worked in state government, administering federal programs, including the Social Security Disability Program and the Community Development Block Grant. So she better hope she doesn't get fired. I mean, she got this professorship probably through political connections, and she's just a bureaucratic functionary of Barack Obama, who obviously has no purpose in her life. All right, we got to come back. Even though I've got a piece of chocolate in my mouth, I apologize for that, but when you're out on the road and you're driving for 24 hours, it's easy to get dehydrated. Well, so on the way back, see, I made sure I drank a lot of water. I drank about 4 pints of water, which probably wasn't enough, but in doing so, I was warding off the dehydration that gave me the massive pounding headache like I haven't had in years the day before. That's while I was working. And so my throat is a bit, it's out of sorts. And chocolate is very effective at lubricating the vocal cords. And so I got home, and for some reason, my extremely attractive audio engineer had filled this glass bowl up on the bar in the kitchen with all these little tiny chocolates. And so ever since I walked in the door, I landed at about 4 o'clock, 4:30, I don't know. And I just been eating these chocolates just one after another, just trying to save the pipes because I knew I had to do the show. All right. So anyway, we're finished with the professor at Wheaton College. Was there any point in reporting that? Oh, I just want to make you people aware that Christians and Muslims do not worship the same God. And if you don't know anything about Islam, it's very easy to educate yourself. You can learn all about Mohammed, who he was, what he advocated, and what he did. And then you can decide for yourself whether him and Jesus Christ deserve equal billing. Jesus Christ deserves to be worshipped as the Son of the living God and the Savior of the world. Mohammed deserved to be executed with extreme prejudice. A murderer and a rapist of children is what he was. And he started a religion, and I'm supposed to respect that? Am I supposed to consult with care before I say that Mohammed was a pedophile and a murderer? And a liar, by the way. Let's see. Speaking of that, we'll go now to reason number 1020 in no particular order. To get or keep your children out of the government schools, we go to Blaine, Minnesota. I said Minnesota, okay? Parents at a public school district there that I can't pronounce are questioning the decision of a choir teacher to use a song about Ramadan performed in Arabic at a holiday concert. A holiday concert? Is that what it was? A holiday concert. That's what they have in America and jolly old England these days. We don't have Christmas anymore. We have holiday concerts and we sing about Ramadan. I'm that British guy. I think he's on RT. Isn't that? The guy with the British accent on RT. Anyway, anytime I see holiday concert or holiday party, I feel the urge to say holiday party. Because that's what when the shootings were happening in San Bernardino, that's what I saw it on RT. That's Russia Today. That's Vladimir Putin's official news outlet. Yeah, I allow that in my house, but not MTV. No MTV, no VH1. But we have Vladimir Putin in the house to give you an idea of the state of civilization. I can't have entertainment and music in the house because it's all pornographic, and I have to go to Russia to try to make sense of the news, try to get some uncensored news, or at least news that's censored more in my direction. It's just bad. But while the shootings were, I mean, the blood was still on the ground, and the RT reporter was saying that it was an attack at a holiday party. Yeah, anyway, so here at Anoka Hennepin School, the school district there in Blaine, Minnesota, they had a holiday concert, and the kiddos sang a song that include the words Allahu Akbar. Okay, that's what ISIS screams when they're sawing someone's head off with a dull knife. That's what they scream when they're looking through their binoculars with their video camera, and an American vehicle drives over an IED, and they blow up Americans and kill them. That's what they scream. Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Have you seen some of these videos of these psychopathic terrorists killing people? They whip themselves into a frenzy with the Allahu Akbar. You should watch some of the IED videos. It'll give you an education on who we're fighting. So in Minnesota, we've got young American kids shouting, chanting, singing Allahu Akbar. In a statement, the district said, you know what that means, of course, that no one at the district wanted to stand up on a podium, shuffle their papers on the lectern, and read this statement and take questions. So the district issued a statement. And they said that students from many different backgrounds and cultures, our students are from many different backgrounds and cultures, and they promote equal opportunities for all students, whether the founder of your religion is the savior of the world or whether he raped 9-year-old girls. They're all equal, see? I'm sorry, I slipped into my government school administrator girl voice there. Yeah. Mohammed was great. He started a great religion. There's like almost everyone in the world except Americans. They're all Muslim because Mohammed started a great religion and we respect it. We want to honor Ramadan. Excuse me? Oh, I'm sorry. Ramadan. Folks, the educators in the government school system have lost the confidence that comes with knowing God. They don't know God. They're 2 or 3 generations removed from God. They're hedonistic, agnostic at best, or they're child molesting perverts at worst in the government schools. And they don't know God. And if you don't know God, Islam looks fine. I mean, right up until they cut your head off, I'm sure she'd be like, this is great. Mohammed is... What are you doing with that scimitar? Sure, I'll get down. I'll sit down. What are we going to do? Are we going to play a game? Is this like Duck, Duck, Goose? But they don't know God. And it's a very stabilizing thing to know God. And right now, America is very unstable because there are so many godless people, and godlessness leads to mental illness and very poor decision-making. And the decision to have the young kids sing a song in Arabic, period. That's enough right there. You should immediately start bulldozing that school. That's enough of a problem right there, the fact that you got kids singing in Arabic, okay? But when you got them singing Allahu Akbar, Well, that's not where I draw the line. I drew the line 15 years ago. Forget about this. But parents are shocked, believe it or not. These are the same parents who drop their kids off every day at this place and then leave the kid there for 6 or 8 or 10 hours. Have absolutely no idea what's happening to them. Have no idea who's digging around in the skulls of their children and planting things. Bombs, so to speak. Psychological, spiritual bombs being planted in the minds of children all day at government schools. That's if the kid can survive the Lord of the Flies environment that is public high school. Vicious, brutal, heartless little heathens torturing one another with their cliques and their bullies and the whole thing. If you send in your kid to the government school, you are sinning against your child. And you're sinning against God, whether they shout Allahu Akbar or not. But in Blaine, Minnesota, they are. And that's reason number 1020. Your kid could be shouting Allahu Akbar. So get them out. Keep them out. I had a friend. In fact, I've got to look him up. I had a friend I used to work for. Now, we didn't work much. This guy had the ultimate gig. This guy had a gig where he oiled the woodwork at ExxonMobil executive offices here in Denver. They had elaborate woodwork. They had paneling, but not paneling. This was like one-inch oak and cherry and just beautiful wood throughout their executive offices. And this guy, he had a gig where he went and he oiled it, or he at least acted like he oiled it. And he hired me to come and help him act like he was oiling the wood. And I actually oiled the wood. And he came to me once. I was out in the hallway. I had to do a long hallway. And there's about wainscoting type stuff, right? Goes up about to your midriff on the wall. And then above that, another board that ran the whole length of some expensive, beautiful wood. He says, "You start in the hallway. I'm going to go in this executive office. And I'll come back." And so he comes back about a half hour later. And I'm almost finished. He's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I oiled the wood." He said, "You got to slow down, man. What are you doing? You're going to kill this job." So that's the type of guy this guy was. Friendly enough guy. We used to start at about 9 in the morning. And then by noon, we'd be at Duffy's. This is right downtown. We'd be at Duffy's with the big, tall 19-ounce beers. That was his actual goal at the time. Friendly guy, Irish guy, as a matter of fact. We'd be eating corned beef and drinking the giant beers by noon on a Saturday morning. I remember that was before I was a Christian or anything like that. I was dabbling in it. I was thinking maybe I could, but at some point I got saved and I told him, "You know, my wife and I, we're going to try and have some kids, and we're going to homeschool our kids." And he laughed at me. "You talk big right now." He says, "You come and see me in 15 years. Tell me how that went." And so it's been 15 years. I just realized that. I just realized that it's been 15 years, and I need to look him up, because at the time he had two young daughters, one in third grade and one in fourth grade. And so I want to look him up and find out how that went, because they were going to the government schools. Two nightmare children. I mean nightmare hellions. Make you want to rip your hair out. Just awful, awful children. Undisciplined, disrespectful, ungrateful. Anyway, I'm making a note here to look him up, because I remember his name. I'm not going to say it on the air because I don't want to embarrass him. But I am going to look him up. All right. I've got to get back to the news. I'm sorry I digressed. By the way, when I oiled that wood up at the ExxonMobil or Texaco, whoever it was, one of those big oil companies. Muslim? No, they were not Muslims. Okay. No, they were all from Texas. Okay. And they were as white as the day is long, and they wore jeans, cowboy boots, and suit coats. Yeah, and everything in there was shaped like Texas. Every ashtray, every clock,
yeah, right.
The toilet paper holders, everything was shaped like Texas. Anyway, I did a great job. by the way. That was when I realized that I'm part of the 20%. I realized at that point in my life, I'm a part of the 20% who's going to have to carry the 80% of the slackers on this planet for the rest of my life. And that's 15 years ago, and I was absolutely right. I've had to carry slackers my entire life. And I hope you people appreciate it. I know none of them listen to this show. You're all hardworking people, I know. But believe me, 80% of people, they're just hanging on. 20% are actually stepping up and making things happen. And the rest are just literally stuck to our back like a parasite. But we love you anyways. Can't remember exactly why I got off on that. Anyway, I'm going to look him up. John was his first name. That's enough. We're not going to say his last name, but he was Irish.
Come on, move on.
All right. Now, look at this. I've gone very long here. I don't know what it is. It's the elevation change. I went from 900 feet this morning to 5,300 and some odd feet, and I'm out of sorts. So, but let me get to reason number 1,019. To get or keep your children out of the government schools, we go to Virginia, where a school district is defending its recent calligraphy lesson for high school students, where they wrote the following in Arabic. They wrote, "There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah." So the government school teacher had the kids writing the Shahada. And you know the Shahada is what is on the ISIS flag. I know, it's also commonly spoken in all those peaceful mosques out there. All those mosques that are so peaceful, they also say the Shahada. I know that. But I just want to make it clear that it's also what's on the ISIS flag. Well, parents are livid. Livid, I said, yes. They had a school district meeting to find out just what's going on here. Well, the school, let's see here, was this. The district said in a statement, you notice a pattern here? Nobody has to take responsibility for anything anymore. Nobody has to stand up and weather the slings and arrows of questioning, grilling. When you blow something or do something stupid, it used to be that you had to stand up and the press and the public, they would pummel you. And it could very well end your career. But not anymore. Now you can just issue a statement or post something on your Facebook page. So the district issued a statement saying neither the lessons nor any other thing were an attempt to, like, indoctrinate anyone into, like, you know, Islam. It was just because the calligraphy looked pretty. That's why. It was just pretty, okay? I mean, when you look at that and you look at it and you think, wow, that's calligraphy. It's so pretty. I want to have the kids do that. Now, the teacher, Cherie Laporte, was aware of the meaning. Now, when I first heard this story, I figured that the public school teacher was probably such a moron that she didn't even know what it meant. Well, it turns out she did know. What it meant. Now, she was asked, why didn't they do any Bible verses? And she said, well, all the students have already read or seen a Bible. Really, you think so? I would bet not all of them have read, and only some of them have seen a Bible, but now they've all written the Shahada in Arabic script. Officials at the school insisted that the lesson was about art and not religion. But the frustration of the parents is emblematic of the anger felt by their California counterparts. Back in California, students in Huntington Beach were told to sing an Islamic Allahu Akbar song. Anyway, the school has issued an apology. They've issued an apology, mostly to the Muslims, following the advice of CARES' popular pamphlet to Americans. How to keep your head? Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you. Thank you to Sammy and my extremely attractive audio engineer. Very good. Very good. Yes, I can't wait to look up John. It's 15 years later. Oh, that'll be interesting. Who knows? I didn't even know. He moved away. But I'll look him up. All right. Let's go now into the personhood file where the Islamic State, according to Breitbart, the Islamic State issued a fatwa ordering the elimination of children with Down syndrome, after which they murdered at least 38 children. Sharia judges in Mosul have ruled that ISIS followers are authorized to kill infants with Down syndrome and other congenital deformities. They've killed the children between 1 week and 3 months old by lethal injection or suffocation. The fatwa was issued by a Saudi Sharia judge named Harry Blackman. Harry Blackman? Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. Harry Blackman authored Roe versus Wade, which is currently used here in the United States of America to murder almost every child with Down syndrome. So you people think ISIS is bad? ISIS is not a pimple on the backside of the abortion industry and the number of disabled children they have murdered. And the hearts of ISIS fighters are no darker than the hearts of the millions of American parents who have murdered their own children because they had Down syndrome or some other similar disability. Do we need to fight ISIS? Yes. Should ISIS be destroyed? Yes. Should their worldview be preached against? Yes. Should our children be indoctrinated against such a vicious worldview as that expressed by ISIS? Yes. And in order to do so, we must start right here in our own house, where similar ideologies are responsible for the murder of more people than ISIS will ever, can ever, or will ever hope to kill. Millions murdered by our own citizens, your neighbors and mine, authorized by the government and the Supreme Court and the Congress and the governor and the sheriff and everybody else. Is it a wonder that our nation is not under threat by 8th century maniacs who look to kill us all? Is it any wonder we've become so morally bankrupt and corrupt that they're only learning to catch up with us on the means and methods of how to murder people? This is the first fatwa issued by ISIS against children with Down syndrome. But the Department of Health and Human Services and the President of the United States and the Supreme Court and the Food and Drug Administration have issued fatwa after fatwa against children with Down syndrome and have been murdering them in an industrial scale for decades. That's right. Yeah, that's for all of you on the Supreme Court, Department of Health and Human Services, Planned Parenthood, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology. All of you bastards. See you in hell. See you on your way to hell. Speaking of that, Dateline Carlisle, Pennsylvania. This is from Channel 5 in Washington, D.C. The Associated Press reports that an HIV-positive Harrisburg, Pennsylvania man raped a 6-year-old child while another man recorded the incident. And how do they know this? How do they suspect this? Well, they suspect it because the police watched the streaming video of the assault on a video conferencing website back in July. So they don't just suspect that he did it. They have him on videotape. The suspect has acknowledged raping the boy in interviews with police. And there's a 19-year-old punk who brought the boy to this pervert's residence and then videotaped it. That's from our This Is Why There's a Death Penalty file. Now, this is one of those cases that I would like to take up with my... Well, I don't have any liberal friends, but I with my liberal enemies who are against the death penalty. And I would ask them to please explain to me how this man should not be killed immediately upon conviction with extreme prejudice in as painful a manner as possible. Both of them. All right. Ever since I had kids, these things make me viscerally filled with anger, hatred, and violence. I have to check myself. Every week now, I get the sex offender notification in my inbox. Via email, I get a notification when any kind of sex pervert has moved into the neighborhood. Fortunately, the neighborhood is at least 7 miles away now. But still, I see it, and I read what was he charged with. And if it's against a child, I feel the bile rise in the back of my throat and it burns the bottom of my nasal cavity. And I have to swallow it down. That's why we need a death penalty. Anyone who would ever even think of doing something like that should be scared that they're going to be put to death in a viciously painful manner. But that's not what we have. And so what we have are perverts out there molesting and hurting children. And don't tell me that we just hear about it more now. Well, we hear about it more because there's a 24-hour news cycle and it's always happened. It's always been going on. That's a lie. The epidemic of a sexual perversion in this country, the epidemic of pornography, has led to a generation of dangerous sex perverts. And it's only going to get worse. This only gets exponentially worse as the days go by. And so if this perpetrator is not put to death, then this is like planting the seeds of the next case. If this man is not put to death, that is practically like the government saying that they're okay with this kind of behavior. We will tolerate this. And what can you do? What can you do when the government it forces us all to tolerate this? I guess you do, I don't know. I teach the kids how to shoot. I carry a gun. I will preach the gospel. And maybe buy an even bigger piece of land and just try to get away from all these people. Anyway. By the way, this pervert's name, I want to give his name here. 61 years old. 61 years old. Ira Task. If you don't hear about his execution within the next 2 years, then you'll know that the government, at least in Pennsylvania, is okay with tolerating this type of behavior. Because what do you think? You're going to send him to prison? That's going to help? What about the people in prison? What if a guy's just a bank robber or a dope fiend? He ends up in prison. You got to put him in with somebody like this? Unbelievable. All right. We've got a story from Specia.com. A homosexual was found murdered in Bergsjön, Sweden. Two unaccompanied refugee children from Morocco are accused of murdering him. For some reason, these two unaccompanied children, 16 years old, ended up in this homosexual's apartment. And then they robbed him and killed him. He was abused and killed, according to Specia.com. Abused and killed just because he was gay. And I beg to differ, because these kinds of stories, they happen all the time. They're not reported on widely. But what happens is you have a sex pervert, and he sees a couple of young guys, and, wow, they want to come to his apartment and all this, and, hey, the... The sex pervert's happy to have him come over. Couple minor boys. Comes over to their apartment. Oh, the homo didn't realize that they were going to rob and murder him. And they did. So don't be a sex pervert who meets strangers at any apartment for sex. Because you might be robbed and murdered. It wasn't because the guy's a homo. Well, I guess it is because he's a homo. If he wasn't a homo, he wouldn't be inviting 16-year-old boys over to his apartment. But they didn't beat him to death. It wasn't a gay hate crime. Okay, it was just a normal crime against someone who has so little control over his perverse appetites that he put himself in a position to be robbed and murdered. This was in Sweden. And the two teenagers were where are they from? Morocco, North Africa. Which really doesn't have anything to do with the story either. I mean, a lot of your typical talk show guys and gals, they'll either go on the gay angle or they'll go on the refugee angle. But I'm telling you the truth of what happened here. Because it happens all the time to these perverts. All right. All right. Now, speaking of refugees, I do have an issue with the refugees, as you, I'm sure, well know if you've been listening to the broadcast. We're all concerned and we want. Donald Trump stands up and says, stop the immigration, stop the migration of Muslims into America. And most of us agree we've got to stop. We need to figure out what's going on. Yeah, I'm with you on that, Don. But the sad fact is, according to Fox News, over 100,000 Syrians have already been granted admission into the United States on work, study, and tourist visas from 2012 through 2015. So there's over 100,000 of them already here. Experts say any fears that terrorists might infiltrate the wave of refugees that may be coming should be dwarfed by the potential danger that's already here. So not only do you got the sex perverts and the child molesters to worry about, now you've got Ali with an AK-47 and a couple of his friends. So let's say 100,000 are here. Let's say 0.1% are jihadis. Can we do the math on that? So less 10% would be 10,000, 1% would be 1,000. A tenth of 1% would be 100. It's possible that we've already let in 100 jihadis, and that's with the rosy scenario that 0.1%. So there's 100 of them here. We saw what 2 or 3 of them could do in San Bernardino. So we've got dozens of potential cells that are already here. A comment from Jessica at the Center for Immigration Studies says, the sheer number of people arriving makes it impossible for authorities to keep track of them all. Well, that's, here we are going into Christmas week, and we all want, this is what we all need, right? As we're going into family time, hanging around the fire. Maybe you want to go out to the mall, do some shopping. Well, there's at least 100 jihadis plotting to terrorize. There's at least 100. And we've already let them in. All right, now, to the politics file. Dateline Moscow, President Vladimir Putin has signed a law allowing Russia's constitutional court to decide whether or not to implement rulings of the International Human Rights Court. Are you familiar with the International Human Rights Court? If I'm not mistaken, the last time I saw them in the news, they were trying to indict Benjamin Netanyahu as a war criminal. Okay, so that tells you who the International Criminal Court is. Well, Vladimir Putin says, Nyet! No. The head of the Russian Constitutional Court told Putin last week that Russia was in favor of a dialogue in case there was a problem with any rulings by the court. Yes, I don't see any problem here, said the head of the Constitutional Court. Myself and Mr. Putin, we think that people worry for nothing. There is no problem here. And so Human Rights Watch, they're upset. They've had a press conference and said how horrible this is about the Russians. They just want to violate the civil rights of gays and lesbians and transgendered and bisexual and questioning youth. At which point Vladimir said, "No, yet, there is no problem. Please, keep moving down the sidewalk. Please, for your own good. There is no problem here." And Russia will not accept the judgments of the European Court of Human Rights. I don't think we do here either yet. I hope not. But this is where we have to look for genuine, sane leadership, is to basically a Russian oligarch, criminal thug, murderer, and a thief. He's more qualified to lead than anyone in the government right now that I'm aware of. Just unbelievable. At least I can relate to the guy. Okay? He's not trying to turn my kids queer, at least, okay? Give him that. Israel has struck in Syria and killed Samir Kuntar. Praise the Lord. I shout praise the Lord every time Israel launches a missile strike against a terrorist. But this is big news, folks. This is in Syria. Did I not tell you people several months ago that this is World War III? And we may not realize it yet, but we're here. It's happening. And now Israel has struck inside Syria. In Damascus, as a matter of fact. Who was Samir Kuntar? He's a terrorist who in 1979 attacked an Israeli family and slaughtered them, including a baby. How old was the baby? Mark this up. A 31-year-old father, a 2-year-old daughter, butchered this family on a beach and at their house in April of 1979. Well, he was arrested by the Israelis, and he was thrown in prison. Listen to this. He was sentenced to 3 life terms in prison. So life without parole. 3 life terms. This guy was never going to see the light of day. The government of Israel ensured their citizens that Samir Kuntar was no longer a threat. Well, the problem was that Samir Kuntar was still alive. And he should not have been, but he was. So in 2008, he was released. He was released. Listen to this. This is, by the way, this story is from the How to Lose a War file. This is why Israel, if things don't change dramatically, in 5 years, Israel will not exist as a nation. It will not exist. In 2008, the Israeli government released Samir Kuntar in a swap for 2 bodies of IDF soldiers who were killed in the 06 Lebanon War. Did you get this? They traded a live terrorist for 2 dead bodies. A terrorist who should have been executed in the late spring to early summer of 1979. He lived in jail until 08 and then he was released and has apparently been frolicking around the Middle East for the past 7 years. Well, they struck him with a guided missile. And for that, we do say, praise the Lord. But the fact that Israel would keep this guy alive is shocking. He butchered a family. And then that they would let him go shows you that even when we look to Israel, all we see is corruption, weakness, foolishness, stupidity, incompetence, and treachery from the governing officials who are obsessed with stealing money and getting high and having sex. That's what governance means anymore. They're so obsessed with that they've lost sight of everything else. And for that, they will be punished for those sins. Whether it's by ISIS or whether it's by Vladimir Putin, or whether it's by some other as yet unseen international force or foreign force that comes to dislodge what's left of Western civilization. Maybe it comes from China. Maybe it comes from Russia. Maybe it comes from the Muslim fanatic cesspool hell pit in the Middle East. But it's coming. And it's coming. And I would advise you to train up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, because they are going to have quite a battle ahead of them. And I would encourage you to gird yourself for the battle to come. Stand up, speak the truth, don't be politically correct. And with that, I suppose I'll leave you. Until next week, I thank my friends at KGOV.com, TheologyOnline.com, and American Right to Life. And of course, my other brother, Dara, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview Studios, should the Lord tarry, we shall return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.